You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe
Dude.
And Greg Bach.
Dude!
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. We are kicking things off here, and it is great to have you with us here at this midweek point of our show that we like to call Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe coming to you live from Northeast Wisconsin, just up the beautiful coast of Lake Michigan from my cohort partner in crime, Greg Bach, who is joining us from Radio Park in Racine, and the Domster, Dominic Lee. Lover of all things Jimmy John's and Big Arch joins us from Madison. He is working the board.
That's what I'm known for, really.
What?
That's what I'm known for.
Really. Well, sure, but that's not a bad thing, Don. There are worse things you could be known for. Think about Hitler. You just love a burger and a sub, and you get all your information about your heritage from Jimmy John's.
That's you really took a leap.
That's a good start. All
right. I'm going for the laugh. Anyway,
and you got it.
How are we doing tonight, fellows? It's a glorious day in the state of Wisconsin.
Dom, how you doing?
I'm not doing too bad. I get these stomach aches when it hits around 3 o'clock, and this one has not seemed to dissipate. So I have a little tummy ache, but overall, I'm having a pretty good day. How about you?
Well, now I'm worried about your stomach.
Yeah,
like tummy. So if that's happening every day, at the same time. It's either one of two things. It's either, you know, something medical or you don't like us.
Well, I don't think.
As you get closer and closer to the show, could be scurvy or you don't like us.
You don't like us. He gets could that pain in his stomach because he has to deal with Pete and Greg.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, it's got to be my eating habits. It's got to be what it is.
Too many Big Arches?
One too many.
Well, last night was Taco Tuesday, so you could be reeling a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was really good. But yeah, I think it could have been a lack of just. I need to eat a little better. I think that's what it is.
What have you eaten today, Dom? I'm going to go a little parental here on you, and I want to know what you eat. What you ate?
I'm going to go very uncle on you right now.
I had a bowl of Frosted Flakes around 10 o'clock.
Strike one. Okay.
Then I did have Ian's pizza at 2:30. So
strike two.
And that's all I've had so far.
Why do you hate yourself, Dom?
Seriously,
I don't know why I do it. It's just so good. I don't.
When I have to give you eating advice, that's where you have failed horribly, horribly, my friend. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, it could be a series of things, but like, man, maybe look at your eating habits. Not just your eating habits, but like when you are actually eating, at which times and what you are in fact eating. But if you're getting it every day at the same time, maybe it's also to exercise that ability to see a doctor.
Yeah, I know. I got to see. I don't have a doctor yet in Madison. I just moved to Madison. I need a good doctor. I need a primary.
One there.
There's going to be great ones, but also don't sleep on a nurse practitioner as well. Those are great to have as well. You don't have to, like, you can have a GP, that's fine, but a nurse practitioner who does
physician's assistant, absolutely.
Very, very, people very angry at me, but do a lot of the same work that doctors do. I can say that because a friend of mine is one of those, and she said that to me, so I'm just relaying her words. But yeah, don't worry about, like, I mean, if you can't find a GP, that's one thing, but if you find a great nurse practitioner, that's just as good.
Well, thank
you guys. I just had a colonoscopy a couple of weeks ago. Dom, I could probably answer a few questions for you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Okay. Just go on the internet and look at TikTok. hey, we have a really fun show for you guys tonight. I'm very excited, you guys, about our guest, Michael Nirenberg. He wrote this great book. He spent most of his adult life on movie sets as an artistic director, set designer, art designer. He wrote a book called Cinematic Immunity, an oral history of New York filming as told by the crews that got the shot. And he interviewed tons of people who just work on movie crews. And you know what, Greg? I've had, over the last couple of years on Nightlight, I've had people on that just have good, they're not celebrities, but they have great stories about being on a set or interacting with a famous actor or director. I love that stuff. And this book is a great read. And Mike will be here at 5:35. We also recorded some extra stuff with Michael for one of our Nightlight After Dark segments. That's like a full 45-minute interview that you guys can find on the website. That'll be up soon.
Yeah,
how soon will that be up, Don? Dom? Is it Don or Dom?
Dom Lee. That's the full name. There it is.
I keep calling Rosen Dom Rosen, so I gotta figure that out.
Castle Domington.
A couple days. It'll be up. And stay tuned for that.
Wonderful. Perfect. Wonderful. And then Greg and I. In the first, that's at 6:20, folks. We're going to do.
Wait,
gonna talk
are
to
we
Michael.
Wait, 6:20 or 5:35?
6:20.
There we go. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. Just writing it down.
Dom's like, uh-oh.
I didn't look at the schedule.
It is for the second hour, or at least it was scheduled for the second hour.
Yeah.
You know, friends, I have to say, our dear senior producer, Tucker T-Sizzle Ligursky, is under the weather today. So I'm sure he can answer his email. But Greg and I are going to play a really fun game. See, that's my diagnosis, Dom. Colonoscopy 2 weeks ago. I know a little bit about the medical industry. Okay.
You're a professional.
Exactly. So Greg and I are going to play a game tonight called Agree to Disagree.
Okay.
I'm excited about this, Greg. You came up with this great title. And we're going to talk about the show Seinfeld. It is Jerry Seinfeld's birthday today. I was a huge fan of the show. I think it's probably the greatest sitcom ever, network sitcom.
Okay.
And Greg disagrees. So we will agree to disagree. It could get heated. We're not in the same studio, so there will not be any fisticuffs.
But I will punch a webcam sooner than I can. Yeah.
Temperamental artists.
Don't get to me started. That was a weird Italian / German. I don't know what I'm doing right now. No idea. But Pete, we want to hear other people's thoughts on this too. So if you have opinions on Seinfeld, or like we've a lot of stuff going on, we'll get to the question of the night. Don't you worry about that. But for this segment, for Agree to Disagree, let us know your thoughts on your favorite sitcom. We've talked about it before, but we'd love to hear it. And if you have points that support me or Pete, or vice versa, like this is why you're wrong, let us know. You can drop a comment in the live stream. You can text us, call us. We'd love to hear from you. But this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I have to say, and a quick reminder, folks, before we get to the question of the night, tomorrow night is another installment of Nightlight Movie Club.
Yep.
And this week's movie, and this is perfect because our guest tonight is very well known in New York in the film community. This week's movie is Goodfellas, and we will talk about that tomorrow night in the second hour, our favorite lines, characters, scenes, overall, just give an overview of the movie, whether we liked it or disliked it. It's a Martin Scorsese film with Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Ray Liotta, a young Michael Imperioli, and Lorraine Bracco. So Paul Sorvino. Yeah, he's no slouch. So join us tomorrow night for Nightlight Movie Club and check out Goodfellas beforehand if you get the opportunity.
There you go.
Speaking of, this made me think of Italian food. Last night, you guys, I'm not a huge dairy guy.
Okay.
However, I had pasta with these outstanding turkey meatballs my wife made with spinach and garlic, and I added fresh Parmesan cheese, chums. Fresh Parmesan cheese. My God, was it good. It's like a different cheese than the stuff you get out of the shaker.
Yeah.
Like the processed stuff. And that's what I always use. But my God, I'm like dancing on air after having fresh Parmesan cheese. Okay. That's not even supposed to be fun. That's just a statement that I'm sharing with you fellows.
And I love that. And I love that you had that experience. And there's nothing better than eating great food, especially when it's food like my wife makes amazing dinners, amazing dishes. And I tell her all the time, there's nothing you make that I do not like. And that's honest to God truth too. Mm. But just you reveling in fresh Parmesan, or if you want to be like really fancy, fresh Parmesan.
I love that. Not just fresh Parmesan, where I had to take the thing and grade it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a little bit of a workout in there too. Yeah. And it was
This is basically cardio, my friends. I mean, my gosh, I basically burned my way into this dinner. I can eat as much as I want. Zip, zip, zip. Oh.
If you saw how much cheese I ate last night, you would know it was a cardio workout. So anyway, that was my night last night. I just want to share that with you guys because we're in Wisconsin. Cheese is good.
Cheese is great. Cheese like love that. It. Love it. I absolutely love it. Do you, what do we say? Get to the question of the night?
Yeah, why not? All right, folks, in honor of our guest tonight, Michael Nuremberg, our question of the night is, what actor, actress, or movie says New York City to you? Mm. What actress, actor, or movie says New York City to you? What do you think of when you think of New York City when it comes to movies, actors, actresses? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Or send us a text on the app or shoot us a stream comment if you are watching on YouTube, Facebook, or the app Greg still calls Twitter. So let us know. Be part of the fun. And should we get to some news, you guys?
Let's get to some news with some fresh grated Parmesan.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to be, you know, an expert or any sort of like political science nerd to know that the gas prices in Wisconsin are way, way up. I was talking about this earlier today. In Kenosha, the gas prices jumped about 30 cents in roughly 24 to 36 hours. And I don't know where you all live, but that is craziness. But where it's craziness anywhere. But like, you know, there's some places in California where what's much more expensive right now, according to AAA's website. It is $4.22. That is the national average in the nation. So actually, Wisconsin, in Kenosha, we are above the national average, which is very, very odd. And Gas Buddy shows that, you know, we are just around the average as well. And California is a little under $6 a gallon, which is absolutely bonkers. But I wanted to say something really quick about this, Pete, is that, you know, I think when people hear this, they automatically think, the war in Iran, they would think of the Strait of Hormuz, and that is definitely a contributing factor, but there are other things that are going into it in this story in the JS Online. Let me just say here, Caden Perry has the byline on why Wisconsin gas prices are expected to jump dramatically. There is a refinery issue in Indiana. There's a strike issue. The fact that half of Wisconsin gets their gas from one part of the country, whereas the other half gets it from another part of the country, it's all coalescing together to make the fact that we have higher gas prices. But that being said, the Strait of Hormuz being closed, the war on Iran is just the cherry on the cake. That's what it's really at right now. So really, when it comes down to it, like, we're all seeing those higher gas prices. You usually see higher gas prices in the spring as they start to switch over blends and they do a lot of maintenance and whatnot. But between everything going on, both here at home and in Iran, we are not only seeing higher gas prices, but they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, it was a great article in the Journal Sentinel, and we got to see our pal Patrick DeHaan was quoted from Gas Buddy. He was a guest on Nightlight several weeks ago, but that was insane because you said your gas prices went up 30 cents. You had that right at the tip of your brain, Greg. And it matches up exactly with what that article said. And you are getting hit the hardest. Like, even in Marinette, it's $3.90 a gallon. Mm-hmm. Like, we're usually a little cheaper. You know, we do have Highway 41 running through here, but we don't have a ton of traffic. So it's insanity right now. And I don't want to drive anywhere, frankly.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to drive anywhere outside of the county at this point for at least a little while. It's just too expensive.
Right. So. Word. All right, folks, we have two more big stories, and one includes the King of Pop. We are coming right back after a very short break. Do not go anywhere. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Good evening and great to have you. I am Pete Schwabe. joined as always by Greg Bach and Dom Lee and Madison. We are coming to you live on this beautiful Wednesday night. Our question of the night is, what actor, actress, or movie says New York City? This is an honor, sort of our guest coming up in hour two, Michael Nirenberg, who wrote a great book that we are going to discuss about movie sets and behind-the-scenes stuff that happens. He's got great stories. He'll be here in hour number two. Coming up after the news, Greg and I are going to do our first installment of Agree to Disagree, mm-hmm. and the topic is Seinfeld, and we encourage all of you to join in and take a side. Let's divvy this up. Let's divide ourselves.
Let's get into a fight.
Let's polarize everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're in the middle of our big three stories, Dom, if you will. All right. So the Wisconsin Department of Justice, also, this was also in the Journal Sentinel, says we have to release the names of all law enforcement officers in the state, a Dane mm-hmm. County circuit judge ruled April 28th. My guess is this, I think this was addressed in 2025 to Josh Call. Weighed in on this, Attorney General Josh Call, but this has to be somewhat inspired by all the ICE issues, I would think, Greg. I'm in favor, like, you know, police officers, law enforcement officers are public employees.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they should identify themselves. I don't know if we all need access to their personal information, but I feel like they should identify themselves. And the one thing I will say, and I think this is why Josh Call disagreed with this last year, was that it could put undercover officers in danger. And I understand that side too.
Yeah, but in this article, like, first of all, this is part of a bigger project nationwide where they're trying to release right. all this information because they want transparency, they want accountability. One of the big things that they're trying to combat here are police officers who are leaving their job before they get fired or before they resign in the midst of scandal. They can just take their wares and they can go to another police station in the state or outside the state. And without the ability to research these individuals and see what they are, you know, capable of as far as, like, you know, whether it's abuse of authority or whatnot, that it makes sense to be able to see this information. And in this article, it addresses the undercover issue portion. It said that it could put undercover officers in danger, but they go on to say in this article, undercover officers don't use their real names. So seeing their real name on the list of law enforcement officers does not really help. The DOJ also didn't really give any reason, specific examples as why their reasoning for not releasing would be a problem. This is something that's happened in 24 other states. It is something that if they need to redact it for some reason, there can be special dispensation. But I agree. They are public employees. Their information should be available. And folks who might hire them should be able to see what's in their past. So to me, you know, you can make special exceptions if there's something overwhelming, but, you know, I think this is information that needs to belong to the people. And on top of that, too, they said something very interesting in the story. They said, you know, I wanted to find it specifically, but it said, you know, we can't just go and snap our finger and send an email. I'm like, yeah, you can. You can send an email. I mean, no one's saying you have to knock it all out in one email, but you say, all right, over the next month, we'll be reaching out to every single agency saying we need a comprehensive list. You have to via this court order, and that's it. Then they send it to you. That's and you follow up. They're trying to make it seem much harder on a administrative level than it is. But when we're talking about transparency, I don't really care. Then, you know, send two emails. But this to me is a no-brainer. And mm-hmm. if there's protections that need to be had, then you account for that. But just to say, no, this isn't a good idea. No, they're public employees. I worked in the public sector, and my boss's phone number, home address, everything about him was available for searching. So
same thing. My wife's a teacher, and yeah. you can find out teachers' information everywhere and salaries even. Like, why isn't that? I understand law enforcement officers might be in more danger than a teacher, but not necessarily. You have crazy parents sometimes. I mean, this is, listen, point, counterpoint, or agree to disagree is coming up after the news, Greg, but we agree on this.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to the third story.
Well, Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say the movie Michael is Out has made a lot of money. The fans love it. The critics, not so much. But one of the questions that people are asking, actually a few questions, is one, why is Janet not in this movie at all?
Or LaToya or Randy.
No, LaToya's in it.
Oh, she is?
LaToya's in it.
Maybe it's Rebe.
Is Rebe or Rebe? And Janet and Randy are not in it. The rest of the, so the ones who are in it are Michael, of course, Jackie, Tito, Jermaine, LaToya, and Marlon. But Janet chose not to be a part of this movie and said that, you know, I want to be away from this project. And they respected that. But to me, a family like the Jacksons, when you don't have, you know, it's fair to say she's the second most famous Jackson. And that's, you know, that's saying a lot because your brother is Michael. But the fact that she's not there speaks a lot to the story. And just the fact that this movie has so many production problems, as far as we're not talking about what everyone else is talking about. And the fact that, you know, they got into make, they actually were going to put portions of this case in there, but they found out they couldn't through a discovery notice that they can't say the names of the survivors. And then also just the fact that it ends right before the allegations come out. So to me, this is a complete, like, I don't know. No, thank you.
That's convenient. Yeah. Janet said it was creative differences, and that's fine. And they respected that. But it, to me, this is all a big Jackson. And to not even address that at all is so not egregious, but just lame. Well, like, this movie broke records. It's set a record. It doubled the what Bohemian Rhapsody did in its release. So love the music, but I would have a hard time going to see this. That's just me.
Same.
All right. Hey, folks, coming up after the news, it is our first installment of Agree to Disagree with Pete and Greg. We're talking Seinfeld. Join the fun. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back. I can't blame it on the sunshine because there is no sunshine in Marinette, Wisconsin tonight, folks.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
I am Peach Waba. He is Greg Bach. Greg is in Racine at Radio Park. I'm in Christmas City, USA, Marinette, Wisconsin. And Dom is in Madison. We are the Yotter Hay Triangle. It is great to have you here tonight. Our question of the night is, what actor, actress, or movie, or song, whatever, says New York City to you? Be part of the fun. New York is our largest city here in America, a great town that is been the setting of fantastic movies, and obviously great artists have come out of there. And we are asking that question tonight, kind of in honor of our author guest who will join us in hour number two, Michael Nuremberg, who joins us at 6:20. He wrote a book called Cinematic Immunity, an oral history of New York filmmaking as told by the crews that got the shot. Great behind the scenes information. He has a wealth of knowledge and information about movies from all of his times on movie sets. And it is a great book. I read quite a bit of it just today. Nice. What do you think, Greg?
I very much enjoyed the book. I didn't get to read the whole thing, but I did enjoy what I got to read. There was a great section on one of my favorite comedies, which we will discuss with him. And also, here's the thing too. What's great is it's in the After Dark series. So that means there's so much more. You're going to hear about less than half of the conversation on the show tonight. The rest of it will be on the website. You can check out the whole discussion, and that's what we love to call the After Dark series. So you can check out it's almost like it's like a full podcast, if you will, that we just, you know, it's more loose. We don't have to worry about the breaks. We don't have to worry about anything. We still are very FCC compliant, but it's a great way to give you more of those interviews. So check that out, the After Dark series.
I always try to sneak in a few swears, but Dom gets them. He's on it. Yeah. You know.
Well, you also think shucks is a swear, so I don't understand. Like, it's just, you know. Shucks.
Depends. It sounds like it should be. It's got those hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree. There's a lot of the word. There's a lot of words out there where you say, like, this feels like a swear, but it's not.
And there are some that don't. And George Carlin covered a lot of that. So.
Yep. Yep. And what's funny is that half the words he said in that landmark joke, you can now say on TV.
Absolutely. You can also chop people's heads off on network TV too. That's not even a thing anymore.
But you can't show a naked person.
No.
And whoa. Too crazy.
We are a puritanical bunch. So tomorrow night, folks, is our Nightlight Movie Club. And this week's movie is Goodfellas. Join us tomorrow in the second hour for a really fun conversation about Goodfellas, a Martin Scorsese film with great actors and actresses. We'll talk about our favorite scenes and lines and characters and just give you our thoughts on the movie. And we hope all of you join in for Nightlight Movie Club tomorrow night. And you can join in right now because Greg and I are about to do our first segment ever of Agree to Disagree. Greg, are you ready?
I disagree. I'm not ready.
All right, we'll be right back after this. Check, please.
Dom, you're in charge. We're gonna go think of some stuff here. All right, yeah, I'm ready. I am ready.
Ooh. Look at Dom.
There we go. All right.
Okay. That music to me, Greg,
yeah,
symbolizes my favorite. It's probably one of my favorites, but it's the best network sitcom, in my opinion.
Okay.
Easily of my life during my lifetime. And I know that music got a little crazy season 7. I think they were only writing 15-minute episodes, so they would let that bop go on for like 3 minutes. It was kind of annoying.
Here's a fun fact about that theme song: that is not an actual bass guitar. That's a keyboard with the bass MIDI, because they said, oh, no bass players could play that. That's too hard. And then bass players were like, hold my beer. I'll take care of that. Thank you very much.
Ouch.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So obviously I'm a fan of Seinfeld. I love the show. You and I both have a stand-up background. You're still mm-hmm. doing it actively, but Jerry Seinfeld was, the guy when I started in the late 80s. I started doing stand-up in 1989. He was the guy. He was selling out theaters, and mm-hmm. the word on the street was he didn't have to take a sitcom deal he didn't love because mm-hmm. he was making a couple million dollars a year anyway doing theaters. And I saw him at the Vic Theater in Chicago. I actually talked to him after that, and this is funny. I saw him years later at the Laugh Factory in L.A. He stopped by to do a set, and he was leaving. I said something. I said, hey, I saw you at the Vic Theater years ago. You were nice enough to talk to me afterwards. And he looks at me and goes, oh, yeah. There's no way he remembered
me. No, not at all.
But it was nice. He acted like he did. Anyway, so he was very instrumental. And I don't think he's good on the show as an actor.
No.
But I give him his props. I don't laugh at his comedy as much as I used to, but I give him credit. He created this amazing show with Larry David.
I mean, I understand everything you're saying there, and I don't discount his importance. And he's one of those guys back in the 80s who definitely took control of the whole narrative regarding, like, you go on Johnny Carson and then the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
Roseanne Barr was one of those individuals. There's a lot of other examples. But that's the thing, is like, I do not dispute its cultural importance. I don't dispute Jerry Seinfeld's importance as a stand-up comedian. But for my money, I do not I can watch Seinfeld, but I do not love it, and I cannot watch it I cannot watch it the way other people do. I tried, just when Netflix or wherever was a thing you could do it, I started to watch it, and then I got like 2 seasons in. I'm like, I think I'm good. Yeah, for me, it's just not, in my opinion, one of my favorite sitcoms of all times. One of the greatest sitcoms of all time or of recent memory. I understand that belief too, but I can think of other sitcoms that I feel are better. And all I can do is say, yes, I understand why you like it. I won't say you're wrong for liking it or like get mad at that you like it or, but you don't no, because it's your taste. It's your choice. So all I can say is I totally understand why you would like it. And I don't dispute its importance in especially TV culture, but it's not the best.
And I respect that. I was glad we got to do this segment because most comics love Seinfeld. So when you told me a couple weeks ago or whenever it was that you weren't the biggest fan, I was like, wow, I respected the take. To me, those of you who are listening, some of my favorite episodes are, and they did groundbreaking stuff when George's mother caught him. Mm-hmm. And the contest, that's what the episode is called. Brilliant. Without ever having to say the words. There were all these great episodes where George, I should say, dates a girl who looks just like Jerry, and Kramer keeps calling her Femme Jerry or a She Jerry. I mean, they just, and a lot of that, Greg, I think is Larry David. Like Seinfeld's great mm-hmm. as a comic. And I'm sure a lot of the ideas were his too. But the fact that Larry David, and I'll say this, Larry David went on and did Curb Your Enthusiasm and took a lot of those topics on Seinfeld and just was able to swear and do them on cable instead. I will say this, Curb Your Enthusiasm might be more critically acclaimed. Maybe not. I don't know. But I will say, I think Seinfeld is better because it has a script. I like the improv element of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I think it goes on too long. And their master, Jeff Garlin's a genius. Larry David's great, but give me a script.
All right. I'll give you a script. I got a script that I wrote 2 years ago. It's not very good. it's called Die Hard in Illinois. It's currently in a lawsuit for copyright infringement, but you can still read it if you want. I mean, it's fine. And the thing is, to me, like, I don't ever compare those two shows because they're two totally different shows, in my opinion, you know, from their design, from, of course, the time frame, what, as you said, what they can and don't say. I don't compare the two because to me, they're not, Larry David is the connective tissue, of course, but for me, they're two. And I would much rather watch Curb Your Enthusiasm because I like that cast a lot. And I mean, for me, like, hands down, I think that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is one of the finest television comedic actors of all time.
For sure.
Absolutely love her, and I do enjoy her on the show, but I actually enjoy her in other, like, for me, and this doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but The New Adventures of Old Christine, I thought that was a great sitcom.
Yeah.
I thought it was very, very fun, and I love seeing her as the center, but I can watch those classic episodes, and I'd be like, it comes down to the point of, like, I get why people like this, but after a while, for me, I'm like, all of these people are terrible, and I don't want to root for them anymore. Like, they don't seem to get their comeuppance, but they always get away with just being trashy people. And after a while, that sort of loses its appeal for me. And I feel that way about a lot of TV shows.
Hmm. If you're just joining us, this is our first installment of Agree to Disagree, where Greg and I pick a topic and take opposite sides. And we're not just doing that. These are natural, organic thoughts, folks. We're talking about Seinfeld. Let us know what you think. Are you on my side or are you on Greg's side? Do you like Seinfeld? Do you not? Do you think it's overrated? I agree with you about Julia Louis-Dreyfus because none of the other actors, Greg, really had a lot of success after Seinfeld. I mean, and they're so brilliant. Like Jason Alexander, Michael Richards, they are outstanding. But you're right. Julia Louis-Dreyfus has had other success off the show. I will say the first four seasons of Seinfeld specifically are probably my favorite in network TV history. There's no weak link. I know a lot of people came around to Seinfeld after that time and talk about the soup Nazi and episodes like that. And I'm just like, it's just overdone. Like, it was so real about a comic in New York when it started. And then the season where they made the pilot and it was all called back at the end of the final episode of the season, I thought was incredible. So that was a little bigger, but the first three seasons before that too were great, even though the first season only had like four episodes. But when it got later in the series with the soup Nazi and and Putty became the focus, and Putty's funny and some of the other characters, but I just thought it was a little over the top. And whatever, they got to make 26 episodes. It's not like British TV where they have to make 8 or 12 or 16.
Or six or four.
Yeah. They're, you know, they had a slate to fill and they did it and it was still okay. There are some episodes, the one where Kramer takes, Jerry Stiller and Estelle Harris, George's parents' screen door, and sets it up at his apartment. And Estelle Harris, I want to give her a shout out as George's mom.
Yeah.
That whole episode, she's yelling from the upstairs and Frank Costanza is trying to sell computers out of the garage and he's got George working for him and George's rival, Lloyd Braun. And he says, the one who sells the most computers, he's trying to compete with IBM. He says the one who sells the most computers gets a free water pick. And you just hear the shrill voice of Estelle Harris. You're not giving away our water pick. Like, there's some brilliant stuff, even in the later seasons too. But
on the text line, Andrew from Maine listening on WAUK said, never watched Seinfeld, though familiar with via social exposure, not yet impressed with what I have seen. And I understand that. I know people who just flat out dislike Seinfeld. Like, they don't like the show. They don't like him for various reasons. But, you know, I know this is agree to disagree. and I didn't like get all fiery with it. But it just, for me, it's a sitcom. I think it had a certain relevance. It's great. But I can pick out like three or four that for me are like way more influential and way more. And like, I just can sit and watch them and be like, I've watched this episode 15 times. I'm still going to watch it again. So,
yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So today we agreed to disagree.
I think that's lovely, Greg. I think this is off to a great start. We've got our question of the night. What actor, actress, or movie says, or song, or band says New York City? Do you answer the question? We are coming right back. This is Nightlife with Peach Baba and Greg Bob.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach and the Civic Media Network. Great to be with you tonight. Thanks for spending some time with us. Coming up in hour number two, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Lee Nuremberg will be here. He is the author of Cinematic Immunity, an oral history of New York filming as told by the crews that got the shot. It is a great read. Lots of behind the scenes stories from his friends who are in the business. Michael was a set designer and scenic artist and has tales to tell, and you'll hear them all in hour number two. Our question of the night is, what actor, actress, or movie, or band, or singer says New York City to you? So we got kind of a New York theme tonight, and it's going to carry over a little tomorrow into a Nightlight Movie Club as we discuss Goodfellas. So join our conversation tomorrow night, too, for Nightlight Movie Club and our conversation of Goodfellas. How are we doing, guys? We're jamming, huh?
We're jamming.
We're jamming.
We're having fun. Yeah. We're having fun here.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Dom, you found this article.
Yeah.
It's cracked me up. Go ahead and share this,
yeah,
please.
All right. I just found this pretty recently. It said, 1 million bees make for bumper-to-bumper traffic on a Tennessee highway ramp. Which is, it was about a million bees there was a truck carrying a million bees, and it just tipped over, and all the bees went onto the freeway, and it was absolute chaos. I just thought it was like, how do you clean that up? It's almost like you just can't. It's just all over the freeway. I don't know.
They said, when they said in this article, they said that the bees have been, they're good. Like they've gotten the bees. Like how, like who it says right in the comments too, who counts it? How do you know? Do you weigh them? Is it like, is it like a tear thing where you put it on a scale and you account for like the weight of the container? But like, seriously, like, one, how did you know there were a million? Two, how did you know you got all of them? And my third thought on this too, and it said something to the effect of, unless you are dressed in this outfit, which is like a beekeeper's outfit, please stay in your vehicles in this area. They wouldn't have to tell me that. Right. Just hold up a sign and say a million bees are loose and I'm sitting in my car happy and that's it. But the bees can also get in your car. They can fly up through like various places. It's not a done deal.
This is really important because, you know, bees are crucial to our existence. And luckily, all of them were wearing their seatbelts and they're okay. However, it was a great story. And I love the comments. One of my favorite things to do under stories like this is read people's comments, because you can find gold from regular people. But how do they know? Is the reason they know there were a million, because I assume they came from a bee farm and they have some way of tracking that or whatever. But kind of a scary thing. Not as obnoxious as mayflies, which are just starting to show up here in Christmas City. You cannot even take a walk without wearing a mask, or you eat mayflies. And a year ago on this show, I talked about mayflies and I said, if I swallow 10 mayflies, does that break a fast? Because it's inevitable. When you take a walk this close to the, it's terrible.
If you've swallowed 10 mayflies, you can still consider yourself a vegan. I mean, that's all these questions are very valid, but I do like how you turn this into, let me tell you something.
It's about me.
The mayflies are coming and there's nothing you can do about it. 1 million bees has 2 trillion mayflies and they're all in my mouth.
Or cicadas. Cicadas just scare me.
Cicadas
like no
are
other.
Awesome because I never see them. I just hear them, and they're awesome to listen to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, you got to love, okay, Can I just say something really cool about cicadas? This is totally off topic, but here's a cool thing about cicadas. There are 13-year and 17-year cicadas, and the reason why there are two separate cicadas who only come out on those times, so every 13, every 17 years, is evolutionary. They figured out that their predators, if they came out every 2 years, 1 year, if it was you know, regular, their predators would get there. So they evolved to only come out 13 and 17 years to stay away from the predator. So they didn't know they could, because, you know, they're insects or whatnot. So not exactly keeping time. But the cicadas, through brain power and evolution, said, you know what? We need to come up with a plan. And the plan is, you guys come out every 13 years. We'll come out every 17 years. And that's what we'll keep doing. Now, that's an oversimplification of evolution. But it's essentially how it works.
Oh, you really think they have the capability?
Well, it's not. Do I think they do? This is a fact.
No, I know, but I'm not saying, like, it is interesting how instinctively, you know, the animal kingdom does that, because they're not sitting around in a boardroom going, "Hey, we gotta figure something out here, guys."
That's why they scare me even more.
Well, Tom, every 13 to 17 years, whatever it is, just stay inside then. Pete, you stay inside for the mayflies. Yeah. You stay inside for the cicadas, Dom, and then I'll just be outside going, there are a lot of bees out here. How do you count them? I don't know why I went to Southern. I don't know why I did that. My apologies to my Southern friends. I don't know why I did that.
We've got a couple texts here in regard to our previous segment. Greg, I would say, Greg, so far you're up 1-0 if we have to keep score. Jewel agrees with me. He says Seinfeld is the penultimate show of Gen X.
Okay. Two things here, Pete. You didn't read the whole text.
Why would I do?
And also, not the right use of the word penultimate, but if you're going to call me names, Jewel, if you're going to call me names...
It was a little aggressive.
It's not the right word, not right uses of a word penultimate. So I'm just saying out there, be mean. I'll be mean right back. That's it.
Greg is agreeing to disagree with me and Jewel. So I find that interesting. And then Janet and Madison says, Janet from Madison here, I'm a Seinfeld fanatic. Team Pete on this one. I quote it all the time at the office, and I get weird looks from people who have never watched the show or really dislike it. So those people are out there. She says, but I've changed some minds when I talk about certain episodes they should watch. It is crazy, Greg, that show, it's been 30 years since it went off the air.
Mm-hmm. It almost went off the air before 9/11.
Yeah. 97, I think it was 90, off the air.
98 or 99.
Maybe 98. Oh, no. You might be right.
Yeah.
It was nine seasons, and it started in 89. So, yeah, it's nuts how time has passed so quickly. But anyway, all right. Oh, my God. We've got to get to a break. Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Dom wasn't even born.
We are coming right back to talk about a lot of stuff. It's going to be great. We're going to read your texts after the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach and Nightlight on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.